information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
Fence.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Some terrorist thing just to steal some money out of Congress?
Their arrest was only the beginning.
We are being lied to by
the government. They were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
That's how the few control the many. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 228 from Media Monarchy. It's August 5th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, high treason, bread and circus peanuts, Super Congress, and Remy Rap. Sam Adams, bag ban, Tex Hex and food banks, birthquake, crop circles and planning the anniversary, cruel summer, American spring, drug sub and Birdman, plus coke, clay and music to play, all that and so much more, episode 228 for August 5th, 2011, from MediaMonarchy.com.
We'll be right back.
High treason, ladies and gentlemen. That's Mortal Clay from their new record, Gilded Thralls. That track is called High Treason, and that's my coworker. I work with her many days a week, and I remember she was so excited to show me the lyrics to that song when they were still just in the rough form. But the CD is done now, and you can get it, mortalclay.com. If you're a fan of 4AD record style, industrial, goth style, Dead Can Dance, and more, support the artist, and that's how we'll all keep doing this. Through the privatization of our central banking system, exclusive right to print currency, that's how the few control the many. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. And this is the 228th episode. It's August 5th, 2011, and we are broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Twitter.com/thePRA. And of course, a huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net for simulcasting the show. I come from live radio. I love having the live radio tie-in, and especially terrestrially. And again, huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. We host all our audio and video episodes on sites like radio23.org, radioforall.net, archive.org, and a huge thanks to tragedyandhope.com, the entire community there, and all the other alternative media outlets that help spread media monarchy. We are on all the social network black holes, FaceSpace, Twitter, Tube, Tumblr, Gmail, Skype, Media Monarchy as your keyword or username. And we send out hearty thank yous to our most recent donors who clicked the button at the top right of MediaMonarchy.com. Carolyn in Connecticut, Craig in Massachusetts, Jay Case in California, Samuel in Belgium. Some, if not all, of those folks are repeat donors. So again, a huge thanks. And as my man Samuel in Belgium noted, we need a PayPal alternative. If you guys have any suggestions to set up an ancillary way, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can also do it the old-fashioned way, and I love getting mail. P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. And again, that's on the top right of the page. Everything you want, everything you need is all linked up on MediaMonarchy.com. And all the other sister sites in the kingdom that will go through everything today. Holy Hexes, Cyberspace War, Food World Order, our great friends in the alternative media. Let's glance at our notes. It's possible no show next week. I'm not sure. It's not set in stone. But next Thursday, the 11th, is my 34th birthday, and I'm going to go see Arctic Monkeys and the vaccines, so that's probably going to keep me up kind of late, so we'll see. But maybe I'll just come in and rock a music episode for you. Speaking of music, keep an eye out for the latest entry in our amazing Media Monarchy mixtape series. Hopefully episode 11 will be dropping next week. And we've said it before, we'll say it again. Now is not the time to start a new life. Now is not the time to sign a lease. My Mercury is in retrograde. Oh, and speaking of music, last week's opening track, Mystic Mind, from Those Darlins. The Tennessee band were in Portland this past Tuesday night. Got to see them up close. Got to meet them, talk to them, autographs. Like the music geek that I am. bought the record, put the cash in their hand. That goes in the van. That gets them moving to the next location. They are an independent band. I posted up a couple photos from the show. If you want to check them out, facebook.com/MediaMonarchy. And I think our last note here, huge thanks, and kind of blew my mind. Kind of weirded me out a little bit, but it was cool. My man, Jason P., underscore Jason P. underscore on Twitter. Huge thanks for stopping by last week. He was in town from San Diego for the OSCON, the open source convention here in Portland, Oregon. So he came by PRA as I was wrapping up. I kind of just naturally assumed he was the guest of the DJ that follows me, but no. It blows my mind constantly, even the little small connections and effects that I can try and make through this show are absolutely what it's all about. Before I had this format, I've always been about sharing media and ideas. It just now has a little more urgency and a little more up-to-date bent to it, perhaps. Like I said, I come from college radio. I was the music director. I was the music guy, theater, sound design, played in a band, all that stuff. But almost 10 years ago, an event happened that, as they say, changed everything, and I started to look into alternative history and alternative news. So now, nearly 10 years later, here we are, taking everything I know from everything I've done growing up in the church, in the media, in the theater, in the radio station, all of those things that I've come from or run away from or come back to, I try and put it all here on MediaMonarchy.com. Not your average conspiracy-style talk show, and maybe some folks don't dig that. Maybe that's something that limits me from being a bigger, better, more popular show in the 9/11 truther world, or whatever you want to call it. But like the man said, I gotta be me. So this is media and memes and synchronicities and ideas and satire and humor and news and politics and conspiracies. All those things, all wrapped up for you here. This is episode 228. It's August 5th, 2011. This is MediaMonarchy.com. We glance at the breaking news as we always do. U.S. stocks tumble in volatile trading as growth worries persist. Senate votes to send aviation officials back to work. And Viacom has a strong quarterly showing. Those and more stories are on my Google News page, where they'd also like me to read about Jersey Shore, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and The Dark Knight Rises. So lots of things rising, to be sure. And we will always leave this page open, so when news breaks, we can report it for you here first, like we did 2 weeks ago, the unfolding of the Norway nightmare. Couple of updates, of course, on that. And so many more things. We have a ton of things to go over. So I'm going to shut up, so to speak, with my digressions. We'll do this chronologically. Posted last Sunday as the psychological operation was reaching a fever pitch. White House and Congress critters closing in on debt deal. Meanwhile, Apple Incorporated has more cash on hand than our own government.
And perhaps the debt crisis might be solved with more jobs, as in Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple. The latest earnings report from the world's most highly valued tech company shows cash reserves of more than $76 billion. The U.S. Treasury has reserves just under $74 billion. These figures may not be directly comparable, since Apple's number is based on its ready cash, while the U.S. figure is how much it has before hitting the debt ceiling.
Put it into perspective how dire the debt situation is. CNN is now reporting tech giant Apple now has more cash on hand than the U.S. government. The latest statement from the Treasury shows the government had $73.8 billion in cash available. That's over $2 billion less than the iPad maker.
More on that from Raw Replay and our original posting, as, again, the debt ceiling was reaching its fever pitch. So we have French agency press and USA Today and Sea Caucus New Jersey and CNBC and alternative media and all sorts of things. But a way to, again, put things into perspective, a little sugar makes the medicine go down. We heard from the guy we're about to hear from again some ways back, maybe last year on the show. We'd have to dig through the archives. But his name's Remy. And last year we played his Arlington rap for you, which I think I referenced recently as we were discussing the kind of lame Whole Foods parking lot song, and I said the Remy Arlington rap is much better. He had a new one just in time, Raise the Debt Ceiling Rap by Remy.
Raise the debt ceiling, 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 raise the debt ceiling. 14 trillion in debt, but yo, we ain't got no crime. Dropping $100 bills and $1 billion bonds. Spending money we don't have, that's the name of the game. They call me cumulonimbus because you dumb.
I make it right.
Drive all kinds of cars, got all kinds of whips. People ask me how I get them, I tell them stimulus. Social security surplus, oh, guess what, it's gone. Got my hands on everything like Dominic Strauss Kahn. Ain't got no Medicare trust fund, son, that's just absurd. Spending every single penny that we see, son, have you heard? Ain't got no moral objection, ain't got no kind of complaint. Ain't got no quantitative statutory budget restraints. Raise the debt ceiling, 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 raise the debt ceiling. All up in the Fed and we living in style. Spending lots of money while we sipping crystal. Making it rain and yeah, it be so pleasing. Did I say make it rain? I mean quantitative easing. QE1, QE2, QE4, QE3. Dropping IOUs in every fund that I see. Printing the cash, inflating the monies. Calling up China, hey yo, we straight out of 20s. All up in the club, we be loud and out. While in the market, yeah, we be crowding out. On the beach, getting tan and sipping Corona. I got a monetary plan and it involves a lot of toll. Raise the debt ceiling, 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 raise the debt ceiling.
So if you look at the chart and you examine the trend, we borrow 40 cents of every single dollar we spend. And non-discretionary spending increases every day. Do you have a comment for committee?
I make it rain.
Mr. Speaker, could you beam me up? A congressperson cutting spending couldn't dream me up. But we're all gonna default if we follow the road. You know, I could have thought of this 14 trillion dollars ago. Cause I'm the king of the links. I'm a menace in tennis. I'm sticking spinners on my rims, picking winners in business. So if you looking for some cash, cause things are getting heavy, I got some big old piles of money. Guess what? They shovel ready. Raise the debt ceiling. 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 Our debt is more unsustainable than my rap career.
Remy, Raise the Debt Ceiling rap, and we have our other related Obamasiah updates posted on this part one about the debt ceiling deal. From the Deutsche Press Agency, Obama at 50. That's right, his birthday, I think, was yesterday. His hair is gray, just like the political mood in the U.S. Meanwhile, finally, thankfully, raw story giving attention to folks like Nader calling for primary challengers to Obamasiah. Webster Tarpley has been talking about it first. And I believe I just saw something about it from Brad Blog and some of the related things in the Twitterverse. But you can check out that clip, calling for a primary challenge to Obama, attacking the left cover, attacking the left flank. Homeless man held after jumping White House fence. More on that from the French agency press. And the tangled John Edwards cases prompt delay in trial. More on that from USA Today. And we reported for you a few weeks ago how it ties in with wealthy, interconnected, multi-generational serial killer families like the Mellons. The other last related Obamasiah and all the criminal cabinet and Congress critters and all the other related folks all lining up for their chance to be the front man of the Europe Junior Empire. I gotta tell you, we've talked about Ron Paul essentially being the only decent person out there, but not being as nearly as excited about him as we were here in 2007 and 8. So there's the big crowded field of the GOP, a bunch of fake conservatives and fake Christians. However, little-known Republican presidential candidate John Huntsman rocked out at a campaign stop in New Hampshire this past Wednesday. Rock out's maybe putting it a little strong, but he was in a Manchester music store. Check it.
Come on, sit down and get a few.
Debate as well.
It may be too broad a statement to make, but I'd have to say that if more politicians could do that, I sure would be more inclined to listen to the crap that they have to say. A little bit of musical and artistic talent goes a long way. So then the update posted at the bottom of this part one, Washington reaches sweeping budget deal, and we grabbed that from Market Watch. But of course, a psychological operation this big deserved its own separate post. Obamasiah signs debt limit bill after nasty fight. President Obama signed a hard-fought, last-minute compromise bill to avert economic catastrophe Tuesday, or Armageddon, as Obama had called it. We played it for you here. Saying the deal to cut spending and increase the nation's $14.3 trillion debt limit marked an important first step to ensure... Oh, well, I don't do a very good Obama voice. Let's just hear it from Barry's mouth.
Good afternoon, everybody. Congress has now approved a compromise to reduce the deficit and avert a default that would have devastated our economy. It was a long and contentious debate, and I want to thank the American people for keeping up the pressure on their elected officials to put politics aside and work together for the good of the country. This compromise guarantees more than $2 trillion in deficit reduction. It's an important first step to ensuring that as a nation we live within our means. Yet it also allows us to keep making key investments in things like education and research that lead to new jobs and assures that we're not cutting too abruptly while the economy is still fragile. This is, however, just the first step. This compromise requires that both parties work together on a larger plan to cut the deficit, which is important for the long-term health of our economy. And since you can't close the deficit with just spending cuts, we'll need a balanced approach where everything's on the table. Yes, that means making some adjustments to protect health care programs like Medicare so they're there for future generations. It also means reforming our tax codes so that the wealthiest Americans and biggest corporations pay their fair share. And it means getting rid of taxpayer subsidies to oil and gas companies and tax loopholes that help billionaires pay a lower tax rate than teachers and nurses. I've said it before, I will say it again, we can't balance the budget on the backs of the very people who have borne the biggest brunt of this recession. We can't make it tougher for young people to go to college or ask seniors to pay more for health care or ask scientists to give up on promising medical research because we couldn't close a tax shelter for the most fortunate among us. Everyone's going to have to chip in. That's only fair. That's the principle I'll be fighting for during the next phase of this process.
Or where everyone's going to have to eat their peas, as he said. So all of those great things that Barry Satoro just mentioned that are included in this replay of what we saw, and I've said this in the previous weeks, that this was just like the bailout, the original bailout in 2008 that was ramrodded through while this phony election was going on, and it's all partisan political garbage, and it two crooked wings to fly this fake-ass bird. But among all those great things that this includes, it also includes something called the Super Congress, approved by the House, set to be rubber-stamped in the Senate, that's probably already happened, establishing a new level of unaccountable government, strip elected representatives of the right to amend legislation or filibuster on whatever issues it sees fit, not merely limited to the debt situation. This body will have, quote-unquote, extraordinary new powers to quickly force legislation through both chambers, including gun control, entitlement cuts, and tax hikes. The White House has already indicated that it will harness the power of the Super Congress, six fake progressives and six fake conservatives, thereby the White House becoming the de facto deciding 13th member. That makes Obamasiah the Jesus to this messed up group of 12 apostles. Even Judas gave Jesus a kiss. So, all the other related news, and again, stories this large, I don't have to cover in any great detail because there's no lack of coverage. There may be a lack of good coverage, but again, hopefully I lay out a path for you and you find all kinds of other amazing alternative news sites and blogs, because as I find them, I try and link to them and share them. But we have our related EconoCrash updates. Drunken Ben Bernanke tells everyone at Neighborhood Bar how screwed the U.S. economy really is. That is satire from The Onion, but of course, it cuts pretty close. You can learn more about this Super Congress, the Committee of 13, pieces from Kurt Nemo and the Economic Collapse blog. But the fun tie-in to this, as soon as this all reached the deal, U.S. eats up most of debt limit in one day. $239 billion spike uses up 60% of funding okayed on Tuesday, August 2nd. Meanwhile, U.S. borrowing tops 100% of the GDP, the gross domestic product. Moody's confirms U.S. AAA rating. Remember, they were threatening to cut us down. But Cryptagon liked the juxtaposition of that story. Moody's confirms U.S. AAA rating. Meanwhile, food stamp use rises to record. Georgia and Colorado bank failures cost the U.S. $2.5 billion, taking huge chunks out of the FDIC. That's, of course, now had Sheila Bair leave. Her work is done. Controlled demolition of WaMu, cronies with J.P. Morgan and all of that. Mission accomplished. Howard Stein, who helped teach the public how to invest with Dreyfus and their memorable commercials, I believe, with the lion and the Wall Street and all that, dies at the age of 84. That caught my eye in the obituaries in the New York Times. But, of course, you can't get that because they're slamming the paywall down. So I found a similar story from the San Francisco Guardian. U.S. government sues UBS for $900 million, charging mortgage fraud. Harry Reid announced a deal to end FAA shutdown, and as we reported to you a few minutes ago, we'll glance back at the breaking news. Senate votes to send aviation officials back to work 41 minutes ago from the intelligence-connected Voice of America. So, also what happened after all that? The Dow plunges 512 points yesterday. The Dow suffered its worst day since December 2008 when the U.S. was sliding into quote-unquote recession. I thought that debt ceiling deal was going to work. I thought we averted Armageddon, right? So as long as we're mentioning Armageddon, which brings up eschatology, which brings up all sorts of other things, I'm getting ahead of myself. We do have a quick clip breaking down the Super Congress.
It's the first of the reported debt deal. According to the details of this agreement, the deal would create a 12-member bipartisan committee, one of which we spoke moments ago, that would reportedly identify an additional $1.5 trillion in deficit cuts. How do you like to be on that team? He would then present the recommendations to Congress, where the House and Senate would be allowed to vote only yes or no, a straight up and down vote, no ability to propose changes or any of the rest. Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano says this might not be constitutional. He's here now. How so, Judge?
Well, because members of the Senate and members of the House have the opportunity under the Constitution to debate items that are sent to them and to modify items that are sent to them, to force them to vote just yes or no with no debate, not to follow the rules of the House, which permits amendments, not to follow the rules of the Senate, which permits a filibuster, is such a substantial removal of the authority the Constitution gave them that this legislation is treading in waters which might not be constitutional. Stated differently, the legislation will so change the relationship of Congress to this group by creating a new group. It will take power from Congress and give it to this group, and the Congress can't do that.
And that this group is made up of members of Congress doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter, because the Constitution says all, emphasize the word all, legislative power here invested shall be in a Congress. It doesn't say some, and it doesn't say the Congress can give it away. Now, the Congress has given away some of its power to the FAA, to the FDA, to the EPA, to the various regulatory agencies that we have. But these are in fields that require technical expertise, like food and drugs, like aviation, and like the environment. This field, which is taxes, there's another part of the Constitution that says only the Congress can decide what taxes are. Only Congress can spend money. There are members of Congress walking around as we speak saying, there's a rumor that this group of 12 could raise or lower taxes. If members of Congress think that they are losing the power to decide what the tax rates should be, then they are creating a monster which the Constitution doesn't authorize.
Well, I guess we'll just have to open up the Constitution, as they say. Or if we listen to Council on Foreign Relations, CNN front pieces like Zakaria, is that his name? Or Sanjay Gupta, any of the other CFR CNN folks. Christiane Amanpour, we're going to hear from her in a little bit. We were getting out of order there, so I apologize for that. I have so many clips that the little windows are all piling up on each other. But we were discussing eschatology and essentially occult economics. And she's done it before. We played it for you. It's in the archives. I don't have it on hand how long ago it was, but it was probably right around election selection time 3 years ago. But here she is again, this time on the House floor, Nancy Pelosi discussing the new order of the ages.
As I've told you before, because I love it so much, they also created the Great Seal of the United States. And that Great Seal of the United States has on it Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order for the centuries, for the ages, forever. So confident were that our founders in their idea about one generational responsibility, one to the next, that they were confident that our country, that what they were putting forth would exist for the ages. For the ages. That was the challenge they gave us. That is the responsibility that we have.
Thank you, Nancy Pelosi, for reminding us of the Illuminati occult writings, ancient Babylonian references within our money, within our power system. So last week we had Shame on Wu, and we'll have some of the updates of the latest disgraced, resigned Oregon congressman. But just last Friday, the news broke, and I heard it first from my man Clyde Lewis at groundzeromedia.org. Portland Mayor Sam Adams announces he will not run for re-election, and Clyde did a show and did an article about it, and I link it up for you, Portlandia and the Nation's Animal Farm. But let's just take the text from our own Coin Local 6. In an open letter to Portlanders, Mayor Sam Adams announced Friday he will not seek re-election. After pondering on the topic during a week-long staycation, the mayor said the choice was clear: help move Portland forward right now or focus his efforts full-time into a new campaign. A quote from the 600-word letter that's posted on portlandonline.com. My best service to Portland will be to complete the platform of change and improvement you elected me to deliver, creating jobs, increasing the high school graduation rate, and making Portland the most sustainable city with the most equal of opportunities. This work is well underway, and I'm committed to making every day of the next 17 months count. End quote. The announcement opens up a race that already has two noteworthy candidates, former Portland City Commissioner Charlie Hales and New Seasons co-founder Eileen Brady. This is a good move for Sam and a fresh start for Portland, said Hales in a press release. When elected in 2008, Adams was the only openly gay mayor of a large U.S. city. Shortly after taking office, he admitted to a sexual relationship with Beau Breedlove, an intern at City Hall, with a flashback link to January 2009 to MediaMonarchy.com when this story broke. We were the only city in the country that broke into inauguration coverage to report on a scandal that our mayor had to immediately fly back to Portland from D.C. to do a press conference. Continuing. Adams' reluctance to admit the relationship caused a stir post-election, even prompting several failed efforts to force a new election. Prior to being elected mayor, Adams was elected to the city council and was also chief of staff for former Portland Mayor Vera Katz. While Adams may end up getting credit for the Columbia River crossing or light rail expansions after his mayoral term is up, Dr. Jim Moore, a political science professor at Willamette University and Coin Local 6 analyst, said the mayor's legacy will likely be linked to the economy. He guided the city through a very tough economic time, and that may be the only legacy possible for someone in office during this four-year period. And what does Adams say about his legacy? The mayor said his job is the best in the nation, but he's keeping his options open, even poking fun at his cameo appearance on the popular TV comedy Portlandia, saying, "I understand Portlandia is filming their second season in town right now, and you know, my agent has been talking to their agent to find out whether we can come to an agreement over my salary," end quote, Sam Adams joked. So let's hear it from Sam Adams himself.
More on that breaking news out of Portland City Hall. Mayor Sam Adams not running for re-election.
Let's go right to K2 reporter Emily Sinovic now.
How am I doing?
With the mayor. Go ahead, Emily.
Mayor Adams just got out of a press conference. He joins us live now. Mayor, for 17 more months, why the decision to not run for election again?
Well, you know, I'd be competitive in a re-election race, but it would mean it would take too much time away from being mayor with the campaigning and fundraising. And, you know, the state of the nation and the work to be done here in Portland, I think Portland needs a full-time mayor as opposed to a half-time mayor that, you know, is a full-time candidate.
Having said that, some candidates do run for re-election while in office. What was unique about your situation that made you not want to run again?
Well, when I see the competition, when I see the issues we face, the question I answer, the question that you would expect any responsible mayor to answer is, how can I best serve, in this case, Portland? And, you know, I can best serve Portland by, you know, the full-time double shift focus, you know, that I currently apply to the job, to create jobs, to improve the high school graduation rate, to, you know, get a handle on this illegal gun violence that plagues our city and make us a more sustainable place. That's what I focused on as mayor. That's what I'm going to focus on for the next 17 months. And that is what I believe Portland needs.
How long have you been thinking about this? You said your final decision came yesterday during a week-long staycation. How long have you considered not running?
I've said, people have been asking me the question whether I'm running or not for probably almost a year, or at least a good 6 months. It's gone really intense. We scheduled this vacation in April so that I would have a chance to sort of take in all the information and thoughtfully reflect on, again, what's in the best interest for this city and, you know, what is my political future hold. So it's a decision that has months in the making, but being able to focus on it during my vacation over the past, you know, 4 or 5 days, made my final decision this week.
Has any of the controversy you've encountered during your term as mayor been part of this decision?
You know, what I think is the most important thing and what I think any mayor, any responsible mayor looks at is, what is in the best interest of Portland? How can I best serve the people of this great city that I love so much? I've been in city government for 18 years. And again, if I run for re-election, I think I got a decent shot of winning. But I also think that it would take too much time away from the job of mayor at a time in the city's history where we really do need the focus of a full-time mayor.
Portland Mayor Sam Adams announces he will not run for re-election. Posted below this, we have all our other related Oregon oddities. Tiger Suit Congressman finally resigns. Yes, that's Representative David Wu. With the link to the story we covered for you last week, Oregon Rep announces resignation after sexual misconduct allegations. But on down the oddities, Canadian company will take controlling interest in Geldwin, Oregon's biggest private company. Pacific Northwest trees struggle for water while standing in it. That's from TerraDaily.com. Missing Oregon hiker found alive after 4 days in the forest. As you see through the summer, these sort of missing kid outdoor calamity animal attack stories always kind of take over. But an update on a story that I've never really done a whole lot on, and again, my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org is probably the first person I ever heard about this story, because again, being originally from the East Coast, I had never heard anything about D.B. Cooper. So we've got it from Newser, and we've got it from Reuters. Hot lead in the D.B. Cooper case. FBI comparing suspect's fingerprints with those found on plane. But from Reuters, woman claims 1971 hijacker D.B. Cooper was her uncle. Dateline, Oklahoma City. A woman claiming to be the niece of the mysterious skyjacker dubbed D.B. Cooper, who bailed out of a jetliner 40 years ago with $200,000 in ransom, says she recalls her uncle plotting the sensational caper at a family gathering in 1971. And where was that gathering? In Portland, Oregon. According to the FBI, the man in the dark business suit who hijacked Northwest Flight 305 called himself Dan Cooper when he purchased a one-way ticket in Portland, Oregon, but the moniker D.B. Cooper originated from media reports and stuck. Basically, this guy had that money, hijacked the plane, parachuted out, and disappeared. And so it's been 40 years of speculation of what happened to this dude. And there's been dribs and drabs, and I think they allegedly found some piece of a parachute in the last year or so. But we'll have to get more into that in the future, and we'll maybe have to have Clyde on to break it down. Our last Oregon oddity is an update and I guess an extrapolation on a story we covered for you a few weeks ago, but it kicked in on August 1st. Portland bans the bag.
I would suggest today that the best way to get single-use plastic bags out of Oregon is for Portland to take the lead and pass this ordinance today. And in doing so, I think we will create the very necessary first step to a statewide law, which I think everybody who's sensible on this topic agrees there's a need to do something about the problem, and a statewide solution is the ultimate solution.
It's time for cities to act. Portland has a special opportunity and responsibility for leadership on this issue as Oregon's largest city. And I think on this issue, like on so many, we will be looking to our local governments for leadership.
I do hope that other cities and municipalities around the state will be joining the city of Portland, because I think that we do need a statewide approach. And hopefully as other leaders at the municipal level look to Portland and say, we're going to do it too, maybe we'll be able to get a more comprehensive approach at the state level down the road.
Take a look at a bird on our beach here that is dead. You'll find polyethylene in its guts. Take a look at the gyres. Polyethylene and polypropylene are the two most common things out there. Take a look at the recent Scripps study where 9% of fish surveyed in the North Pacific this summer had ingested plastic, plastic that attracts harmful chemicals.
We think the best option out there for shopping bags is a reusable shopping bag. Yes, I brought a prop. And what we've seen over the course of the last few years is a huge increase in our customers using reusable bags. In the past year alone, we've issued nearly 3 million bag credits as we give a 5-cent bag discount for customers who bring in their own bag. At our Sellwood store alone, more than 40% of our shoppers bring in their own reusable bags.
Decisions made today will affect the kind of world that my generation and those that follow will live in as adults. And we didn't choose the enormous amount of plastic polluting our environment, but we are happy and willing to be a part of the solution.
I am glad that we waited, I guess it was a year, to give the legislature a chance to take a shot at this, and I think our action today will help build momentum for a statewide solution.
This is an urgent matter that must be addressed now because it holds serious implications for the environment and also for public health. We as a society must be held accountable for the real cost that is paid for the sake of convenience.
I've been on this council for 3 years, and we've taken a lot of votes on important issues to advance the cause of our environment. But I think we've taken several actions which go beyond just protecting the environment and become legacy. And today I think we're taking a bold step forward on banning the bag.
444 bags
per Oregonian, every man, woman, and child in this state every single year. That is a bad habit worth kicking. Hi. We're adjourned.
And that was, again, our own Mayor Sam Adams, you heard there, saying aye and banging the gavel and saying they were adjourned as Portland bans the plastic bag. Now, I believe we did it this way last week because we were covering Oregon sex scandals with David Wu, and then we just went ahead and covered the West Virginia worry. To quickly explain to folks, I'm originally born and raised West Virginia, lived there 28 years. I've been in Oregon for almost 6 years. So those are my two main places when I look for extra bits of news that concern the places that I live and have folks that I love. So three quick notes of West Virginia worry from ABC News. Community rallies against mountaintop removal mining. That story rages on and on and on. Man indicted for three sniper killings in Kanawha County. We get this story from WV Metro News. No arraignment date has yet been set for the Kanawha County man who's been indicted on murder charges for the three sniper-style killings in Kanawha County back in 2003. On Thursday, the Kanawha County grand jury returned their indictments against Sean Lester, 36 years old, from the capital of West Virginia, Charleston. The victims, who were all shot to death 8 years ago, were Jeannie Patton, Oki Meadows Jr., and Gary Carrier. This story I have looked at before and looked into before, and perhaps we've even referenced it briefly on this show. It gets its own Wikipedia entry, the 2003 West Virginia Sniper. Series of sniper-style shootings that took place over the course of several days in August 2003, leaving three people dead in West Virginia. The shootings were reminiscent of the Beltway sniper attacks, the D.C. sniper, that took place in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. in the fall of 2002. If you don't know that area, these are all so intimately connected. The Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, where I went to school and was the music director. Right on the border of Maryland. The school sits on the edge of the Potomac. I can throw a rock into Maryland. So when this copycat started, it brought that fear. And again, this would only be 2003, not even 2 years after the greatest psychological operation this generation has seen, the events of 9/11. So it was 9/11, and then it was anthrax, and then it was the D.C. sniper, and then we had the West Virginia sniper, and it was on and on and on from there. Last note of West Virginia worry, gerrymandering, lines moved for congressional districts. That, again, from WVMetroNews.com. That closes out our West Virginia worry and our Oregon oddities with the shame on Wu and Sam Adams. And so we referenced with new leads, perhaps, in the D.B. Cooper case. We come to all the latest alternative media articles and episodes from Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. I post up all 5 weeks' articles and shows on one post, but he's on 5 nights a week, KXL.com, 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon. He's on weeknights, 9 to midnight. And I got the listen and podcast links for you right there, and their Twitter names and all those things that I try and add out for you. I hope, in a way, so many of the things, you know, I do it in the way that I would like it to be done when I go to a website and I want that information. But I digress. Satan's Sandwich. That was Monday's show, August 1st. And then Tuesday, E. Perilous Vermin, a financial false flag on August 2nd, on the day we officially raised the debt ceiling. And that episode had guests Gerald Celente and also economist James Quack, KWAK. And then Wednesday, Death Train, with guest Shepard Ambellis of theintelhub.com, who you might know from bobtuscan.com and my monthly appearances there. I was on with Bob Tuscan just this past Wednesday. Watch for those videos coming very soon this weekend. But the Death Train gets into the story, and there are at least three or four videos you can watch of massive trains moving through Oregon with massive amounts of military equipment. Tanks, trucks, and God knows what else. And last night's episode article, Project Cytokine Call with guest Anthony J. Hilder. And we'll also, after tonight, post up the Friday article and episode. All that and so much more from groundzeromedia.org. And we move briefly to my man, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Yes, he is on hiatus, but that doesn't mean he's going to stop putting out amazing alternative media. He had this one in the can to drop in the middle of his hiatus. The last word on utopia. The masses have always wanted the quick fix, the wave of the magic wand that will free them from this world of work, toil, and strife forever. How appealing it is to be offered the promise of a perfect system, a way to organize our society that will allow us to live in peace and harmony forever. After all, if such a system were really possible, who wouldn't want to attain it? That 10-minute video has the full transcript with the sources and the documentation, and by judging the comments on youtube.com/Corbett Report, that video seems to have baited the zeitgeist folks, and there's quite the rabble there going on. But as we always warn, don't tread too deeply into any comments or message boards or forums. It's usually a black hole of trolls and anger that doesn't really get you anywhere. Planning the anniversary. We are getting very close to, as I said, 10th anniversary. So we have a story from allgov.com. 9/11 survivors' lawsuit against United Airlines given the go-ahead. 9/11 mother to make legal history suing over her son's 21 minutes of terror before his doomed flight hit the World Trade Center. In the 10 years since 9/11, thousands of survivors have settled their lawsuits against the airlines and other parties and collected awards totaling billions of dollars. But one family is held out so it can have its day in court, and that time is finally approaching. The plaintiff is the mother of Mark Bavis, B-A-V-I-S, one of the passengers aboard United Airlines Flight 175, the second plane to strike the World Trade Center, but the first tower to go down. She is suing United Airlines and Huntley USA, owned by Israeli intelligence companies, the security company that screened passengers at Logan International in Boston, where the flight originated, but not actually where that Muhammad Atta famous photo is that makes you think he's getting on there. Bavis' family contends that he and the other passengers would not have died had United and Huntley done their jobs and thus thwarted the hijackers who flew the airliner into the South Tower. They blame United for ignoring government warnings about terrorist threats and Huntley for inadequate screening of passengers. Her attorneys intend to portray the last minutes of the flight as sheer terror based on phone calls made by other passengers. In a pretrial motion, United's legal team tried to keep Bavis from pursuing pain and suffering damages for the last moments of her son's life. But a federal judge, here he is again, Alvin Hellerstein, ruled this week that he's inclined to allow the trial's jury to formulate an amount for such damages. The wrongful death case is expected to go to trial in November. You can find so much more about this story with the links provided within the body of this article. Most of them go to historycommons.org, the complete 9/11 timeline, so you can learn about Huntley USA, the Israeli company that did security, and we've discussed Israeli spy rings and multiple passports and international black op assassination jobs to be blamed on the cards and the passports and the photos and the identities. Our related 9/11 updates. Bush Obama plans to visit New York on 9/11, but the 9/11 ceremony won't include presidential speeches.
More details are emerging about the city's ceremony marking the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, including who will attend. Both President Obama and former President George W. Bush will take part in the event. The president last visited the World Trade Center site in May following the death of Osama bin Laden. But his appearance on September 11th will mark the first time a sitting president has attended the Trade Center Memorial Ceremony. During his weekly radio show yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg said neither president will make a speech, but will instead read from pre-selected material.
this cannot be political. So that's why there's a poem or a quote or something that each of the readers will read, so that nobody can ever accuse.
There's no speech being
no
made.
Speeches whatsoever. Just the families, and this is not an appropriate thing. And there's an awful lot of people who would like to participate, and you just can't do that.
In another first, the names of all the victims killed on September 11th, including those in Washington and in Pennsylvania, will be read at the ceremony. Other officials set to attend include Governor Cuomo, former Governor Pataki, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and former Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Continuing our 9/11 updates, the man who doesn't want to seem to stop ruining his career in legend, Robert De Niro, to host CBS 9/11 update, calls to drop the name Ground Zero ahead of 10th anniversary of 9/11 attacks. That's from the Daily Mail, and I made sure to send it to my man Clyde Lewis. Cancer-stricken Ground Zero worker Edgar Galvis gets a settlement check for $0. That's from the New York Post. Mystery surrounds loss of records and art on 9/11. This is a fascinating story from the Associated Press and behind the paywall of the New York Times, something I would like to take the time to get into, but we just can't do it now. But it's, you get into the art, and you get into the records, and you get into the insurance rackets and the private contractors contained within those towers. And it mentions, you know, the CIA had a clandestine office in Building 7 and the Emergency Control Center. And meanwhile, 9/11 inside job impossible to conceal, says Vladimir Putin. Flight 93 Pennsylvania crash site marked by huge boulder. Some type of honoring. But in a way, it seems to be a big boulder rolled over that hole that it, as I believe people on the scene said, it looks like a dump truck scooped up some trash and put it in a hole. From 911blogger.com, more insight into artist Rick Veitch and his new comic book, The Big Lie. And our last 9/11-related update for you here is, of course, as James Corbett said before he went on hiatus, it's going to shift into a lot of 9/11 coverage as we approach the anniversary. But our last related 9/11 update, Huckabee releases, yeah, as long as we're talking about comic books, how about cartoon 9/11?
The 10th anniversary of the attacks of September the 11th is now just over a month away. And we've just learned that the President and First Lady will visit all three sites to commemorate the events of that day, here in Manhattan, at the Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We've also learned that former presidential candidate and Fox News anchor Mike Huckabee has decided that it's a good time to sell a new cartoon depiction of what happened. Take a look.
Who would do something like this?
Al-Qaeda is led by Osama bin Laden.
The time for jihad is upon us. Death to the Americans!
Yeah! Wow, look at the police and firefighters getting right to the middle of it.
So what is this former pastor turned politician turned TV host hoping to gain from his new cartoons of American history? Well, he appeared today on the 700 Club to explain.
The newest one that's coming out, really just in time for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, is a history on 9/11, what really happened that day. You can go to learnourhistory.com and you know, get all the details. The videos are like, the first one's $9.95 and then $11.95 after that. A lot of things that come along with the first one, $50 in gifts.
Shill, shill, shill. Oh, there we are. So that's all the big news on MediaMonarchy.com. So we're going to shift gears and go into all the other related sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. And as I glance up at the clock right now, I'll take the moment to tell you, my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. You are listening to the 228th episode for Media Monarchy. It's August 5th, 2011, and we're broadcasting live, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and a huge thanks to the simulcast, zeropointradio.com, revereradio.net. Let's move to holyhexes.com, one of the newest sites in the media monarchy kingdom. And as I mentioned for you last week, we've got our man Alan in Omaha, who's been the head writer over on Cyberspace War. We've got him authored up over on holyhexes.com, and I keep putting out the call, waiting for someone to send an email saying, yes, I want to help you post news. And maybe it'll be you. MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. But a quick post on all the free Illuminati movies on the net for all-seeing eyes. RadioIlluminati.com. You can watch 13 Bloodlines, America's Secret Destiny, PowerPoint presentation by Ralph Epperson, so many other things there. Again, RadioIlluminati.com. But furthermore, on holyhexes.com, polygamist curses his prosecutors with sickness and death. As we note at the top, now that's a holy hex. The leader of a polygamist sect said that unless his trial on sexual assault charges were halted, those involved would face sickness and death. The sect leader, Warren S. Jeffs, representing himself in his trial on charges that he sexually assaulted two underage girls. This post goes back to last Saturday, July 30th, but we do have the update, so why keep reading the part that is now old? Yes, we mentioned for you last week he's representing himself, which of course went really well. Because as it went down just yesterday, early in the morning, the jury heard a half-hour-long tape containing the alleged rape of a 12-year-old girl by polygamist Warren S. Jeffs. So then the jury convicted Jeffs of child sex abuse just a few hours later. Those updates from Time and CNN that are, of course, connected at the hip. Continuing on, Holy Hexes, Alabama lab lost, whoops, key evidence in praying mom's case. When Kay Burdett's 17-year-old son became sick with flu-like symptoms, the faithful mother chose the same prescription she had used for years, prayer. This time, though, her son Jesse did not recover, and Burdett was charged with manslaughter, just as we've reported all the faith healing stories here in Oregon. Prosecutors initially decided to seek a felony charge that carried a sentence of 2 to 20 years in prison. Then, Dr. Stephen Boudreau, a medical examiner in the case, informed a prosecutor that the state laboratory couldn't find the tissue sample, according to documents obtained by the AP. I've been trying to go through the slide files to try and find the mislabeled slide, but there are hundreds in each year and it could be anywhere. What a mess! Boudreau wrote in an email to Lee County prosecutor. There were other problems, too. An investigator had been deployed to Iraq and couldn't testify. And a devout Christian mother would be really tough to convict in the Bible Belt. So can we speculate that once they realized they weren't going to win this case, they fudged and flushed key evidence? Air Force pulls Christian-themed ethics training for nuke officers. The Air Force, in response to an exclusive report published by truthout.org, has withdrawn materials used in a training session that relied upon passages from the New and Old Testaments and a quote from an ex-Nazi SS officer to teach missile officers about the morals and ethics of launching nuclear weapons. The course was led by Air Force chaplains and took place during a missile officer's first week in training at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. Officers who trained to be missileers were required to attend the ethics course, which included a PowerPoint presentation, which you can download as a PDF, on St. Augustine's Christian Just War theory, as well as numerous examples of characters from the New and Old Testament. The training materials asserted engaged in war fighting in a righteous way. Blood red water in dried up Texas has Christians warning of the end times. Again.
The water's turning red. The water's turning red like blood. Are you serious? What? Are you serious? I'm Paul Bagley. Let me tell you something right now. Look at this. The water in a lake in Texas. Texas, right in the heart of Texas. The water's turning red like blood. It's amazing. Now, you can, if you want to look at this link, you can find it on the website Before It's News. And also, these pictures were taken directly from a post of the Texas Fishing Forum. But now, I'm going to read to you a scripture real quick. What you're seeing here, this lake, is what's left of the lake. The fish are all dead there in Texas. I'm going to read this to you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 8, beginning at verse 6, it says, "These seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up." We're talking about Texas. "And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." Now, I've talked about this before during the BP oil spill, when that big oil rig caught on fire and fell into the sea. "And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it was a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters." And some people think it could be wormwood, because the next verse says, "And the name of the star is called wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." And we know the comet element's on its way. Now, the water in this lake in Texas is blood red. Look here in Revelation chapter. "And the grass is burning up because of the drought and the heat wave. And the comet element is on its way." I'm not trying to put it all in. I'm just saying. You've got signs in the Bible.
Wormwood, Planet X, Comet Elenin, signs in the sky. We've heard from that guy, Paul Begley, before. Indiana preacher whose ministry appears to focus almost entirely on eschatology. And that original story from GodDiscussion.com does kind of break down the scientific explanation of why this is happening. But sometimes that's really actually not enough, and there are sinister forces indeed. And we've seen it all through this year, as it, we've said many times, seemed to kick off on New Year's Day with mysterious murders and men in landfills and mass animal die-offs and just worse from there. So, we mentioned Comet Elenin, and that takes us to our last post on holyhexes.com, setting the stage quite well for our eventual blast-off on cyberspacewar.com. But there is a new doomsdate. Comet Elenin will bring the end on October 16th. Comet Elenin is hurtling towards Earth and will usher in the end of the world on October 16th. Say astronomy observers. October 16th is pretty darn close to the Reverend Harold Camping's revised doomsday prediction of October 21st. "It's nearly 300 million miles away, and it's barreling towards us," writes Ray Villard for Discovery News, an article going back to a few months ago. "The intruder from deep space called Comet Elenin crosses Earth's orbit on its inbound leg and again on its outbound swing around the sun later this year." This original story was on BeliefNet, but they dumped it for some reason, so we just give you the Google cache link for you. So now we move to cyberspacewar.com, but you'll hardly notice Elenin equals 11-9. The Comet Elenin mystery continues to be a story that keeps on giving. A swirling controversy in veritable cottage industry has grown around the name Elenin, E-L-E-N-I-N. It's suggested Elenin is an acronym that stands for Extinction Level Event, Notable Impact Nemesis. A recent CNN article, "Comet Elenin, Earthquakes and You," adds to the bizarre festival flavor of the spectacle. November 9th, 2011, the Earth will supposedly cross the threshold of the debris tail of Elenin on the same plane, assuming Elenin is a real object, that would be catastrophic. The article recaps aspects such as the NASA warning to employees, with the video, again, provided for you that we played a clip for you recently, telling them to get ready. And also, of course, possible underground bases at the New World Airport in Denver. The recap is comprehensive, yet it seems odd due to the source, CNN. It surfaced elsewhere that Elenin is code 411-9, when Earth will pass through the comet's tail. The date has also been chosen by FEMA to take over all broadcast facilities in an emergency test. We reported that for you earlier this year on this show, and on New World next week, they're going to be running this national emergency broadcasting test where the president has the power to take over everything. And of course, we discussed when this story was breaking months ago how most radio stations have all been retrofitted and wired, that they can be taken over remotely, that you don't have the power to stay on even if you wanted to. For the conspiracy-minded, Illuminati number games invert it to read 9/11, which is the date Comet Elenin is closest to the sun. There you go. Keep watching the skies. Coming attractions, Meteor Watch 2011, look for Perseids with the rest of the world, a Universe Today article getting into the Perseid cloud, the comet Swift Tuttle, and the meteorites are going to be peaking August 12th and the 13th. That is 1 week from today. You can also check out a trailer, YouTube links, all those things for you. Perseids, coming attraction by Meteor Watch. Meanwhile, asteroids. YU-55. How big is the huge asteroid? Near-Earth object asteroid 2005, YU-55, will pass within the moon's orbit November 8th at a distance no closer than 203,000 miles from Earth. An animation of the close flyby is available from NASA, from the JPL, Jack Parsons Laboratory. But a Space.com article, huge asteroid to pass near Earth in November, turns the quarter-million diameter asteroid as huge and on the potentially dangerous list. There will be radar studies done by Arecibo and Goldstone observatories of this unusual opportunity. How close will the asteroid be to the moon? The only source providing a distance on Above Top Secret says 149,000 miles. You'll still need a telescope to view it on late November 8th or early November 9th. 11/9. But a much closer 11th is next Thursday. Birthquake, if you will. I mentioned for you at the top of the show, it's my 34th birthday next week. I'm going to go check out Arctic Monkeys. But there is an earthquake watch posted. Planetary alignment, August 11th. Physical forces exerted on our planet by gravitational waves of other heavenly bodies are real. Planetary alignments may precipitate earthquakes. Newsbad.com sees a possible 7.2 earthquake on August 11th because of a Earth, Mercury, Sun, Venus alignment. It will be interesting, to say the very least, if there is news bad on that date.
Greetings. This is a planetary alignment watch for the 11th of August, 2011. And we have one very powerful alignment on this date. And the main alignment that I have marked is the Earth, Mercury, Sun, Venus. And the reason why I believe that these are very powerful is that the planets that are closest to the Sun in relation to Earth are involved. So that means the Earth's translation to the Sun will be severely affected on this day. And I feel there is a potential of a 7.2 earthquake on this particular day.
My birthday, August 11th, 7.2 predicted for you right there. And again, my Mercury's in retrograde. So our related updates posted below this earthquake watch, planetary alignment, August 11th. Solar flare that happened a few days ago may spark dazzling northern lights displays and possibly very much more by August 5th, today, now. And it gets crazier. Breathable oxygen found in space. NASA finds new evidence of liquid water on Mars. Disclosure? It sure as hell seems like they're building to something, man. Raw Story has a video where you can see another different asteroid trapped in Earth's orbit. And the Space Needle, just like Obama, celebrating their 50th birthday, offering a trip to space. As we noted, as NASA, as we've ended our shuttle endeavors here, the private industry is going to kick it up. So the Space Needle celebrating 50 years with a trip to space. More on that from Red Orbit. And first it was a question from Reuters, but then it seemed to be answered. Has the Texas drought exposed a piece of the Space Shuttle Columbia? Space Shuttle Columbia part found in East Texas. But again, from redorbit.com, unidentified floating object. I coined that. Potential UFO spotted under Baltic Sea. And it just gets crazier and crazier, and we've heard from him many, many times, and he's always there to debunk any crazy conspiracy theory. But here he is again, Michio Kaku, the physicist, now saying crop circles are made with GPS, lasers, and microwaves.
Well, scientists say they may be one step closer to solving a mystery that's had them scratching their heads for decades. Have you seen these? They're called crop circles, enormous symbols mysteriously appearing on large areas of farmland. Some believe it's UFOs. But could physics actually be behind these massive shapes? Michio Kaku is a physics professor at City University of New York. He's also the author of Physics of the Future, How Science Will Shape Human Destiny and Our Daily Lives by the Year 2100, I guess.
That's right.
Michio, John's already taken responsibility for a few of these crop circles out there. But what are the theories? What are the actual theories behind this?
Well, if you have a stake, a rope, and a wooden plank, and you simply rotate the rope around, you can actually create your own crop circle in 1 hour.
Really?
In 1978, that was the first recorded crop circle, and two pranksters admitted that they did it, and they duplicated it for the press in 1 hour. Now with GPS, lasers, and also with microwave ovens, you can create intricate patterns as detailed as any that you see in science fiction movies.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, you know, for years, UFO buffs have been saying, no way can a human create these intricate circles up to 2,000 components.
Look at that one, though.
One crop circle.
These are pretty good. We'll show that video again. I mean, they're complicated.
That's right. And that's why we physicists see this as a challenge, okay? So in a few weeks, artists and physicists will be converging near Stonehenge in southern England, and we will try to duplicate exactly what we see in other crop circle patterns to prove that humans can indeed duplicate these things.
So wait a minute, you mentioned GPS. You also mentioned a microwave oven. Are you telling me that people are bringing microwave ovens into a cornfield?
That's right. You get a portable generator, hook it up to an extension cord, take apart your microwave oven, and you can actually use that to soften the corn stalks. The corn stalks will then bend over very rapidly. And remember, you have to do it overnight. You have to do the whole thing within just a few hours, and you have to create these beautiful patterns very rapidly, and microwave ovens could be the trick.
I have no idea. Michio, are you getting in on this? You're going to Southern England, getting in on the competition?
No, I have to teach, right?
You have to teach. All right. Well, we'll see how that competition goes. Bring you back for maybe some analysis on whether or not it is physics or maybe aliens. Michio, always nice to have you. Thank you for that. Microwave, is that what you're using, John, when you go out there?
Now I have a new trick. Yeah. Makes it easier, I guess, except for hauling the thing out into the middle of the cornfield.
Continuing on cyberspacewar.com, we come down to earth a little bit with a piece on weather warfare and the Great Flood of 93 revisited. The recent floodings of Mississippi and Missouri rivers in 2011 makes a review of the Great Flood of 93 a pertinent topic worthy of your attention. An article called Tesla Weather Control Over America, researcher C.B. Baker noted that the Midwest deluge had anomalous characteristics that were similar to many previous weather war operations. This article gets into Tesla transmitters creating giant standing ELF waves, generating devastating floods, HAARP facilities, Gwen Towers, all that and so much more. Weather warfare, Great Flood of 93 revisited. And we go from outer space to cyberspace as X, quote unquote, they say, once a member of the company, you're always a member of the company. Ex-CIA NSA Director Michael Hayden calls for a digital Blackwater.
Let me just pivot off what John just said, because he said in his earlier remarks, we need a little more offense from the government. We in the private sector don't do offense. That actually might be one of those big new ideas in terms of recalibrating how it is we have to conduct ourselves in this new cyber domain. You think back long enough in history, there are examples where the private sector was indeed responsible for its own defense. And private enterprises did a lot more than we think private enterprises should be doing right now in physical space. I mean, Google, for heaven's sakes, was attacked by the People's Republic of China. Now, I've only been in the private sector for under 3 years, but I don't think that's normal commercial behavior.
Depends where.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's, yes.
And so we may come to a point where defense is more actively and aggressively defined, even for the private sector. And what is permitted there is something we would never let the private sector do in physical space. Right. I mean, let me really throw out a bumper sticker for you here. How about a digital black wire? Yeah. I mean, we have privatized certain defense activities, even in physical space. And now you've got a new domain in which we don't have any paths trampled down in the forest in terms of what it is we expect the government or will allow the government to do. And in the past, in our history, when that has happened, private sector expands to fill the empty space. I'm not quite an advocate for that, but these are the kinds of things that are going to be put into play here very, very quickly.
Ex-CIA NSA Director Michael Hayden calls for a digital Blackwater, or Spook speaks at Foundation-funded globalist think tank, the Aspen Security Forum. And if you check out the flashback to September of last year on cyberspacewar.com, you'll remember that Michael Hayden said the U.S. should be able to shut down the Internet. Again, calls for the kill switch. We have related updates on a digital Blackwater, and again, noting, does a digital Blackwater represent the next way station on the road to an I-9-11? Let's get to the August 4th DEF CON on cyberspacewar.com. That's what we call our news purge list of headlines, and I think it's appropriate because I believe the DEF CON is coming up soon, the conference. Former CIA official Kofor Black predicts a cyber 9-11. Such a surprise. It's almost as though all these guys are reading from the same script. It's almost like they're all connected to the same think tanks that are all connected to the same foundation families and roundtable groups. Former CIA official Kofor Black predicts cyber 9-11. That is from InfoWars, but from InformationWeek.com, Stuxnet changes terrorism equation, says former CIA official at the Black Hat Conference. That's also a nice appropriate name for the likes of these folks. And as we said last week, maybe U.S. Real shouldn't have created Stuxnet. Vanity Fair exclusive on Operation Shady Rat, unprecedented cyber espionage campaign and intellectual property bonanza. Furthermore, hackers hit FBI Merck Mantech. They are an online security contractor for the FBI, NATO, DOD, DOJ, and the State Department. More on that from MobileDia.com. U.S. wants to build cybersecurity protection plan for cars. That's from NetworkWorld.com, but as Cryptagon noted, make sure your firewall is up to date. That declassified cryptology report we mentioned for you last week was already on Google Books. The Panopticon cometh. Researchers say vulnerabilities could let hackers spring prisoners from their cells. That's from Threat Level and from The Telegraph. U.S. says online child pornography network dismantled. Let's wait and see how many feds and elites get scooped up in that when the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Facebook before tap water as Indian shantytown kids get smartphones. That's from Bloomberg and Christian Science Monitor reporting that Mark Zuckerberg, who took startup capital from InQtel, the funding, the venture capital firm of the Central Intelligence Agency to help start the Facebook, his big sister, Randy Zuckerberg, has quit Facebook and is starting her own damn company. And our last note on this, 8-4 DEF CON, Black Hat, Shady Rat, Mantech, and more, with the link to twitter.com/NavigateNetflix. So that's why they bought Blockbuster. Dish Network planning to compete with Netflix. And our last cyberspace war note perhaps should have gone earlier, but here it is. Kissinger was in charge of flying saucers program. Recent article at UFO Digest, Dr. Henry Kissinger's UFO role revealed. Many links, getting into paperclip, getting into MJ-12, getting into secret government. But here's the transition for you. Kissinger's also intimately connected to Agenda 21 and the eugenics movement. So that sets us up to move to foodworldorder.com. Rawsome raided an attack on raw foods as massive protest planned. This original story from the intelhub.com and also great work from naturalnews.com. We've discussed the raids on Rawsome foods before, and we've discussed the war on raw foods, whether you're California hippies or straight Pennsylvania Amish folks. But when you realize the federal government actually approved aspartame, yet raids raw milk and raw cheese buying clubs, the open eugenics plan becomes very clear. Two stories, different sides of the country, posted up last Saturday on foodworldorder.com. I think go together and connect North Carolina to Washington State. Food banks across the country hit by hunger, comma, thieves. Salvation Army's food pantry almost empty. That's from Rocky Mount Telegram out of North Carolina. We just ran out of food this week and we have very limited funds. But on the other side of the country, in Washington, Mount Lake Terrace, Washington, from King 5 News, thieves target Mount Lake Terrace Food Bank.
The Mount Lake Terrace Food Bank says just because it's there to help doesn't mean help yourselves to everything that's there.
Thieves have stolen the gas from the truck three times now. As King 5's Natasha Ryan reports, the nonprofit has had it, saying enough is enough.
On a sunny Saturday afternoon, retired Navy engineer Bob Janista loves to cruise in his classic car. But this is where he spends the majority of his free time.
Well, that's my way of giving back.
Bob is one of 60 volunteers who keep the Concern for Neighbors Food Bank running.
Our average is 175 to 200 families per week.
And with so many depending on them.
Well, many of the people, it's the difference between the next meal.
They simply can't afford setbacks like this.
This is the line here that they cut.
It costs nearly $300 to repair the fuel line thieves cut to steal the gas from this truck.
You see the drain plug?
And it's not the first time they've been hit.
Put a pan or whatever underneath it and drain the tank.
The tank's been drained twice before. Over the past few years, a freezer's been broken into, light bulbs stolen. That's why everything is under lock and key. Just last week, 13 new families signed up for help at this food bank. That's why Bob says this couldn't have happened at a worse time. They've seen the need increase by a third over the past few years.
Well, it makes me sad because, you know, all of us volunteers here are putting our heart and soul into the food bank.
And last Tuesday, they served more than 220 families. Bob says it's those families that give him hope.
Oh, there's those days, but, you know, the next client through and you say, well, nah, it was worth it.
Hope that next time, maybe the thieves will drive right on by. In Mount Lake Terrace, Natasha Ryan, King 5 News.
The money used to repair the fuel line could have paid for the milk for a week for all the family.
Let's quickly now blast through all the other stories on foodworldorder.com. Wafting poison makes fertile ground for a lawsuit in Minnesota County. This from startribune.com. Court rules pesticide drifting onto an organic farm constitutes trespass. More from WJON.com. But letting damaging chemicals cross property lines is trespassing. The Minnesota Court of Appeals ruled on Monday. Moreover, since those pesticides made his crop unsaleable in the organic market, Johnson is entitled to damages from the company that applied it, the Painesville Farmers Union Cooperative Oil Company. Take that, Roundup. Organic food pushing out the poison at the grocery store. Alex Jones takes to a local grocery store to point out the good and the bad. Four short videos, as he says, on the front lines of the information war. I don't think, really, that some agent or shill would take time doing little weird video shoots in the local grocery store to talk about toothpaste. But it's important nonetheless. So all those videos and all those links are there for you. I had the clip, but we're going to dump it due to time. Eating healthy food costs more in the U.S. Eating healthier can add almost 10% to the average American's food bill, and that's just to boost a single nutrient like potassium. Researchers from the University of Washington looked at the economic impact of following new U.S. dietary guidelines. The plate which recommended eating more potassium, dietary fiber, vitamin D, and calcium, and avoided saturated fat and added sugar. In an article in Health Affairs published on Thursday, the researchers reported that eating more potassium, the most expensive of the four nutrients, can add $380 to the average person's yearly food costs. And we give you the link to healthaffairs.org, but they ain't giving up the article for free, but you got the link to the abstract. Russia becomes a magnet for American fast food chains. Sourcing back to the business page of the old gray lady, early in his career, Christopher Wynn put his Russian expertise to work researching arms proliferation for the American government. Now he's engaged in geopolitics of another sort, deploying American fast food for the emerging Russian middle class. More from Business Insider and the Wall Street Journal, and a bizarre update to throw in from the land down under. I guess this goes along with the Brazilian woman found a condom in a tomato can last week, but a latex glove was found in an Australian late-night stir-fry joint. In the food, in the stir-fry. See, that means we're trying to be clean. Cargill recalls more than 36 million pounds of ground turkey. Food giant Cargill recalls fresh and frozen ground turkey produced at its Springdale, Arkansas facility because the meat may be contaminated with salmonella. More from TimesLeader.com and an update from Food Safety and their barf blog, but sourcing it all the way back to our own Oregonian. Oregon mother describes child's ordeal after being sickened by salmonella-contaminated ground turkey. We discussed banning the bag. Bring your own bag at the No Packaging Grocery Store coming soon to Austin, Texas. If you're reading this, you probably bring your own reusable bags to the grocery store. Maybe you even wash out your plastic produce bags until they're in tatters. But how far are you willing to go down the no packaging road? If the Brothers Lane in Austin, Texas have their way, you'll issue packaging altogether and buy everything in bulk. You'll bring cloth bags or pre-weighed plastic or glass containers to in.gredients. And that's the web address, in.gredients.com. The store they plan to open this fall in East Austin. You'll refill wine bottles and lotion containers. You'll not purchase anything that comes in a box or a package. It's only becoming more popular, and I see it at work firsthand. And don't put your hands in the damn bins. God. This also reminds me of other friends here in Portland that have talked about a similar idea of a place that, you know, you would come and back, everything would be in bulk, but we kind of joked in calling it the inconvenience store. But our last note from Food World Order, TV product placements termed junk food ad loophole. From Reuters, companies that have pledged not to market unhealthy food and drinks directly to children may be turning to product placement on television shows instead of traditional ads to target youngsters, a new study showed. You can get that link from Yale. This type of disguised advertising, including high exposure to sugary soft drinks on primetime TV, is a major contributing factor to childhood obesity, according to the Yale University study released Tuesday. It's a very subtle message the kids aren't likely to get, said Jennifer Harris, co-author of the study and director of marketing initiatives at Yale's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. And yes, we do have the PDF link for you, my friends. So that's everything from foodworldorder.com, and that's everything from holyhexes.com, and that's everything from cyberspacewar.com, and we return after I shake my tongue out. We'll return to Media Monarchy for the 8-4 News Purge. High treason, cruel summer, after this summer gets just that much crueler.
Trying to smile, but the air is so heavy.
It was either that or Jones, so we'll at least take Bananarama, and of course it, you know, can remind us of Karate Kid. But my friends, we have now reached that time with a little less than I'd like to be comfortable. We hit the news purge, high treason, cruel summer, here we go. BioWars EnviroHealth updates, fatal radiation level found at Fukushima Daiichi plant. That story from the New York Times. Japan to fire top nuclear officials in wake of disaster. That's from Raw Story. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission lowers the estimate of how many would die in a meltdown after a new study. Vermont finds contaminated fish as nuclear debate rages. That's from Reuters, and that's about the Yankee. A Swede tries to make a nuke reactor in his kitchen. Man blogs about radioactive experiment. That's from KPTV. NYPD pioneers system to detect dirty bomb. That's from National Terror Alert. Rasmussen poll, 69% say it's likely scientists have falsified global warming research. Meanwhile, Obama administration suspends scientists who warned of threat to polar bears. Monsanto spawned super weeds growing 3 inches daily, destroying a farm equipment. That's from Natural News with the source back to fastcompany.com. Government mandates free birth control. And as long as we're rabbling back and forth about is he or isn't he an agent or good or any of those things, Alex Jones, Media Matters and all their foundation-funded cronies sure know that he's bad news. Alex Jones loses it over robot helicopters with airborne Ebola, and Raw Story, unfortunately, does their foundation-funded connected duty and posts that. Federal court approves patenting of human genes, 5 deaths from Joplin tornado linked to fungal infection, and a fascinating story from grist.org. I'd love to get into this again if we had the time. We're going to make the time soon, though. When the levees broke, the flood that made rock and roll. Now, as long as we're talking about floods and storms, let's glance back at Google News for this update. 14 minutes ago from the San Francisco Chronicle, New Orleans police convicted in post-Katrina shooting case, the Danziger case. Conviction. On to the drug war updates. U.S. recovers a narco sub with 7.5 tons of cocaine.
All right, moving on now. A big victory at sea in the war against drugs. The Coast Guard has sunk a drug smuggling sub. A Coast Guard helicopter crew caught this submarine-like craft off the east coast of Honduras last month. The sub's crew was captured before it sank. Drug smuggling subs are fairly common along Central America's west coast, but this is the first one nabbed in the Caribbean. Coast Guard divers managed to haul in much of the sub's illegal cargo. You can take a look here, and it's a lot. Officials say that they recovered 15 tons of cocaine worth an estimated $180 million on the street.
So was this just another case of the left hand not knowing what the right hand was doing, or in another case of the feds being caught shipping the drugs into this country? Meanwhile, 300 million pounds, that's British pounds to you, worth of cocaine also seized in Britain's biggest drug bust. What a coincidence.
British police have confiscated a 340 million euro stash of cocaine from a luxury yacht in Southampton, England. Officers say it's their biggest ever seizure of the drug. It came after a joint operation with French and Dutch authorities.
Further down the drug war list, bigger pot busts in Mexifornia. That's an investigation from McClatchy, D.C. Video of a busted massive California pot farm spanning 50 acres. Legalizing marijuana would hinder the multi-billion dollar empire of Mexican drug cartels, say some. That's some linked on naturalnews.com. Meanwhile, Mexican kingpin says U.S. protected cartel. And back to the States, in the soon-to-be North American Union from WESH.com, Oak Hill, Florida dissolves the city police force after they were found to have falsely put pot plants at the mayor's house. Sort of a false flag pot planting, if you will. And our last note on the drug war, DEA agents traumatize family during a raid on the wrong house.
Officers bust into a home in Sterling Heights armed with a search warrant. The only problem, the guy they were searching for doesn't live there.
It was a frightening ordeal that the family will never forget. Fox News' Alexis Wiley has their story.
I just don't believe it.
Ramsey tosses a lot of things. He's an American citizen, a retired military translator who helped capture Saddam, and a proud father. But a criminal, he is not.
They did a big mistake.
It happened Tuesday morning around 2 a.m. while Ramsey and his family were sleeping.
I heard banging on the door, very loud. As soon as I opened the door, somebody grabbed me and took me outside, put me on the grass. I thought the first thing, they are terrorists. They want to kill me because I served in Iraq.
But these were not terrorists. They were DEA agents executing a search warrant.
I saw them dragging my wife from the same door and then dragging my daughters half naked. I keep asking, what's going on? What do you want? And they hold my neck around to the ground so I can't talk.
Ramsey says he started having what he thought was a heart attack. Paramedics ended up taking him to the hospital. When it was finally over, the agents took a few pieces of mail addressed to someone who the Tosses say they never met. And now they're left with hospital bills and emotional scars that won't go away. Ramsey's daughter is taking it the hardest.
She wake up every morning, she crying. Because she doesn't believe the fact that her father was under a laser. She doesn't know if they're going to shoot me or not.
I went through some of the documents the DEA left behind. I tracked down a phone number for one of the agents involved. He tells me that the guy they were looking for is actually the landlord's son, and he was using this as his address. But the family says that if the DEA had done any investigating, they would have figured out that the person they were searching for didn't live here long before they ever came into that door.
Before they raid any house, they should have more information. Precisely. Something accurate. Not rumors, not a person, facts.
The Tulsa say they are demanding answers before something like this happens to someone else. In Sterling Heights, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
A DEA spokesperson contacted Fox 2 a short time ago. He says Mr. Tulsa's allegations are being taken seriously, but he denied claims that agents ever threw him to the ground. He also indicated there was likely cause to search the house.
No, he had it right in the first place. They are terrorists. Let's move into geopolitics, and we're going to have to dump the remainder, except for one, of our clips, and we do still have a bunch, especially right here within geopolitics. Get this, Al Gore says the U.S. needs an American spring. That's right, we need a fake color revolution pushed forward by foundation-funded goading along the green shirts on the ground level. NATO, facing defeat in Libya, lashes out in barbaric bombing of TV studios as the attack coalition crumbles. More on that with video from Tarpley.net. 1,600 civilians at least have been killed by Syrian forces since March. The Chinese rail crash scandal. After the train crash, we discovered that officials had stolen $2.8 billion from within the company. And a bedridden Mubarak pleads not guilty from behind bars. And Zara Phillips weds rugby star in a low-key royal ritual. As we move to our media memes, and with several of these, double-check it, because we add links over to twitter.com/navigate Netflix, where we're covering more of the media and the films with the new series that we're doing with Tragedy and Hope, navigatingnetflix.com. As ticket prices rise, theater audiences shrink, charging a premium for movies at a cost. And after the rave riot, theater, the two biggies, I believe, Lowe's and Regal, block the documentary about the rave scene. Video stores reinvented by necessity. Nielsen breaks down Hulu and Netflix usage, a significant minority using iPhone and iPads to watch videos. Precaution at New York Post as the phone hacking inquiry expands, and we hope to find information connected to 9/11 truth as the anniversary is approaching. State Department taps Black Eyed Peas shill will.i.am for a China effort. He, of course, responsible for the viral, quote-unquote, Yes We Can video in the massive Madison Avenue psychological operation of the campaign of Barry Satoru. So now he's going to do something for China. Jerry Lewis ousted from Labor Day telethon and chairmanship of the MDA just mere weeks before the big Labor Day telecast telethon would happen. More on that from BeliefNet. Meanwhile, Clark Gable's grandson, who sounds like a real jerkass, arrested in a laser-pointing incident. And the White Shadow has been discovered, possibly the first credited work from Alfred Hitchcock discovered. Wugazi. That's what happens when you mash up Fugazi and the Wu-Tang Clan. And Rolling Stone has a track-by-track breakdown of 13 Chambers, which I've just started to listen to, because as you may or may not know, I'm a huge fan of mashups. Watch a beluga whale dance to a mariachi band serenade. That's a little bit of sanity break that Raw Story and Raw Replay offers up. Sometimes kittens, sometimes animals, but things to kind of break the mood of all the wretched things going on, and I can agree. Ashton and Demi are going to Israel. Fears grow for Meatloaf's health. Polly Platt, producer and production designer on Last Picture Show and many other films, worked with Peter Bogdanovich, also kind of a disciple of Orson Welles. Polly Platt, dead at the age of 72. Former NFL star turned actor Bubba Smith, dead at 66. Chip Mayer, Dukes of Hazzard actor, dies at the age of 57. Gospel great DeLois Barrett Campbell, dead at 85. And Eugene McDaniels, singer and songwriter of 100 Pounds of Clay, dies at the age of 76.
He took 100 pounds of clay, and then he said, "Hey, listen, I'm gonna fix this world today, because I know what's missing." Then he rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and a lots of loving for a man. Whoa, 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 yes he did. With just 100 pounds of clay, he made my life worth living, and I will thank him every day for every kiss you're giving, and I'll thank him every night for the arms that are holding me tight. And he did it all with just 100 pounds of clay. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Now can't you just see him walking around and round, picking the clay up off the ground, doing just what he should do to make a living dream like you. He rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and lots of loving for a man. Whoa, yes he did, with just 100 pounds of clay.
Eugene McDaniel, singer and songwriter of other songs as well, but of that song, 100 Pounds of Clay, which I didn't realize at the time. And like I said, folks, sometimes the synchronicities and the means present themselves as we're doing the show. Clay, our opening band, was Mortal Clay. There's 100 Pounds of Clay. Creating something out of nothing, whether that's the alchemy of money or the alchemy of creation. Continuing on the media and memes, which seems to be a long list of obituaries, Annette Charles, Cha-Cha, from Greece, dies at the age of 63. And interestingly enough, the guy she dances with a bunch in Greece, Jeff Conway, died like 2 weeks ago, we reported for you. Frank Bender, forensic re-sculptor of the dead, faces of the dead, dies at the age of 70. I could have put that in Holy Hexes or Murder and Mayhem, but we're almost to Murder and Mayhem. But first, we have to run the Zombie 5K in Baltimore. There's some type of marathon game. I don't know if it's a fundraiser or anything. Zombies turn Baltimore 5K into a horrifying jog. I think it's sort of like a, you know, tag. Murder and Mayhem. Norway police raise the attack death toll from 76 to a much more esoteric and numerologically sound number, like 77. the Americans who inspired the Norwegian mass murder, more from allgov.com, and reports that Breivik had plastic surgery to look more Aryan. And the copycat effect pops up yet again. Virginia Tech gunman, question mark? CopycatEffect.com getting into it, but from the Deutsche Press Agency, all clear after Virginia Tech gun scare. Couldn't find anybody. One dead, three hurt in Cleveland shooting near George Clinton concert, a community building concert. Four dead after planes collide in Alaska. Someone strapped a bomb around the neck of a girl from one of Sydney, Australia's wealthiest families. 178 teachers and administrators are accused of helping students cheat on tests. And the hanging of truck nuts grows into a free speech debate. I didn't know that this was becoming a thing, but I guess we can tie this back to what has turned into just all the body part memes, whether it's Wienergate or circumcision or the TSA tit for tat or any of those things. I was sitting outside at work a few weeks ago at the break spot, and I looked at this truck and I noticed it did have something hanging from the back, and I thought it was maybe just like the hitch, you know, hanging down or something. And I looked and I even kind of got closer and was like, oh, then maybe it's like, you know, two cherries. And then I got closer and I was like, nope, that is a scrotum. So apparently this is a thing and apparently people are trying to ban it. But let's move to police state updates quickly. Senate panel keeps Secret Patriot Act a secret. Even though Oregon's own Senator Ron Wyden tried his best to actually bring a little bit of sunlight to it. 8 Reasons Young Americans Don't Fight Back, How the U.S. Crushed Youth Resistance. That's from Alternet with their first of two list-titled stories. Maybe they're trying to catch up on the other alternative media sites that all do list stories. But a Washington State cartoonist targeted with criminal probe for mocking the police. It basically looks like he put up some of those animated extra normal videos on YouTube and the cops there don't like it. Should citizens go to prison for filming police misconduct? That is hopefully a rhetorical question from allgov.com. As New York gets 3,000 cameras in major anti-terror, quote-unquote, measure, Vegas cop who killed 2 people in the last 5 years, including a 15-year-old boy, is now on tape beating another guy. Feds investigate the death of a California homeless man in police custody. Cops shut down another one of those damn lemonade stands, this time in Iowa. A Minnesota man accused of breaking the bird feeding law may go to jail. And the other number list from alternet.org, 6 creepy new weapons the military slash police used to subdue unarmed people. As a DIY spy drone sniffs Wi-Fi, intercepts phone calls, and we learn all that and more from Threat Level at the aforementioned Black Hat Conference. And the drills we discussed, the military drills, the police state drills, the desensitizing you to seeing militarized police take over your streets and cities. We told you it was going to happen in Boston. It did. Here's the update from BostonHerald.com. Military buzzes Boston buildings. Setting us up for our last chunk, and we're just going to squeak in time through War Whores with tweet link to Nick Terse, who is the author of The Complex, and we reported on that book now quite a few years back in the Media Monarchy archives. He's the author of a book called The Complex, How the Military Invades Every Friggin' Aspect of Your Life. He's got a new piece on Counterpunch. U.S. Special Forces will be deployed in 120 countries by the end of this year. Yes, we can. Dire consequences. The new Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, after moving from the Central Intelligence Agency, he's warning against more cuts in Pentagon budget. More on that from the Bilderberg's favorite newspaper, The Washington Post. The Obama regime wants changes to the arms export licensing process. They want to export more arms. Because we're like Shane, like Bill Hicks said, we arm other countries, and then we say, pick up the gun. Central Intelligence Agency escapes prosecution for the criminal destruction of torture tapes, and the U.S. Joint Forces Command, JFCOM, formally dissolved, again from the Washington Post, and I believe it sources back to CIA Operation Cyclone Robert Gates funding the Mujahideen with Brzezinski in Afghanistan in the late 70s, creating Al-Qaeda, which would give us the blowback of 9/11. exactly why JFCOM has formally dissolved, other than just the bureaucratic military speak, I'm not sure. But our final note from Raw Story ties in, I believe, quite intimately with Fast and Furious. Dozens of AK-47 rifles stolen from Fort Irwin in California. That, my friends, is the end of the 8-4 News Purge. High treason, cruel summer. And we'll glance back at Google News to just give you some of the last few updates. Stocks whipsaw on Italian debt deal. Five officers convicted in post-Katrina shootings. Syrians ready for Ramadan protests. Libya's rebels report death of key Gaddafi son. Fight for food in Mogadishu leaves seven dead. And the Jupiter probe successfully launches with Lego on board. This has been episode 228 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's August 5th, 2011. As always, coming live from the Portland Radio Authority, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net. All the connected sites, all the links are out there. Huge thanks to all of you out there. Another quick note, just a reminder, we might not be here next week. Thursday's my birthday. Going to a concert that night. We'll see what happens August 12th. But in the meantime, look for videos on youtube.com/MediaMonarchy of my most recent appearance on The Bob Tuscan Show, and also mixtape 11 to drop. That's going to do it, my friends. I appreciate you being out there. It means so much, as we referenced earlier in the show, just having those connections that happen blow my mind, and I love it, and that's why I do it. Episode 228, August 5th, 2011. My name's James Evan Pilato, reminding you, as always, my friends, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get Ken just the same.